Okay, today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Mem Dalid. We are holding on the top of Mem Dalid Amud Aleph already, I think at the second line of the page. Chata Yisrael. Today's shir is sponsored once again by Avishai and Elisheva Newman, Lizuchus Erefur Shalema, for Chaim Naftali ben Frimit Freida, as well as for Sarah Freida Bas Chaya. They should both have Erefur Shalema Besoch Shar Chala Yisrael. We're in the middle of discussing the sugya of Achan, what happened with Achan and in the aftermath of the Battle of Yericho, when the Jewish people lost the Battle of Ai as a result of Achan's sins. So the Gemara is going to have a number of drashos related to the story of Achan and to Yoshua's reaction to that story and how it all played out. The Gemara is going to suggest, based on Psukim, that Yoshua demonstrated a certain level of Azus, and we're going to have three different possibilities of what exactly he did to demonstrate Azus that we would qualify as demonstrating a sense of chutzpah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara is going to tell us the conversation that occurred between Yoshua and a malach late at night about what exactly he had done wrong. The Gemara is also going to tell us a different conversation that happened between Hashem and Gavriel in the way that Avram Avinu, about the way that Avram Avinu was referred to. And then toward the end of the daf, we're going to get back to the discussion at hand, which is the whole reason we brought up Achan in the first place, was to let the fellow know that that's getting killed, that if you say a vidu, you'll have a kapara, just like Achan. So the Gemara is going to say, how do we know that Achan had a kapara? And the Gemara is going to talk about, what if a man insists that he's innocent, and not only does he insist that he's innocent, the Eidim that testified against him want to change their testimony. Do we then not kill him? So the Gemara is going to tell us that no, we still kill him, and it's going to discuss some of the details of that. So let's begin Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, the second line on the page, Chata Yisrael. So Amar Rabbi Abba Zivda, Afal Pisha Chata Yisrael. So we make a drasha that from the words Chata Yisrael, we see that even though a person sins, he is still a Yisrael, that a person never loses his status as a Jew. The Marsha writes that a Yisrael that violates Kola Terukula, like Achan, he's still a Yisrael L'chal Dinav. That's the drasha. However, that is not so poshut that he's a Yisrael L'chal Dinav. You have a Yisrael Mumar. Does he have a din of a Yisrael or a din of a Goy? When it comes to Ribbis, Rashi writes that it's Asr to be Malva Ribbis even to a Meshumad, because Afal Pishachata Yisraelu. However, the Ramban quotes from a Rabbeinu Tam, the Ramban Maseches Bava Metzia quotes from a Rabbeinu Tam, and the Yireim holds that it's mutter to be malva ribis to a meshumad, because even though Yisrael af lishachat Yisrael hu, that's only when it comes to kiddushin, where it doesn't say achicha by ribis, it says v'chiyamuch achicha, you're not allowed to charge him ribis. So he's certainly not achicha when he's not achicha b'toru mitzvos. When it comes to kiddushin, the Rambam in the fourth paragraph of Chizishos and the Torah in Ebenezer Sim Mem Dalet say that Yisrael Mumar that's Mekadish and Isha, Kiddush of Kiddushin, and it's going to require a get. And the preacher says that even though he's a Mumar, Afal Pishachata Yisraelhu, based on our Gemara. And the Beis Yosef writes that the source for the Ramam and the Torah, that his Kiddushin counts and that he requires a get, is a different Gemara. The Gemara in Yevamos and the Gemara in Becharos, that a ger who's Chazarbo, you have a ger who seemed to have been Mekabel Mitzvos and have done a proper Gerus, and then he decided at some later stage to go back to his old ways, and he's Mekadi Shabbas Yisrael, Kiddush of Kiddushin. So the Gemara says, so you see clearly that even though a person does a terrible Aver Kiddush of Kiddushin, as far as Kiddushin, it definitely counts. However, the Torah quotes a Yesh Omrim that disagree, that a Mumul Chal Shabbos Befarhesio, or to be over Avod Zara, is Dino Kovit Chavim Gamor, and his Kiddushin is not a valid Kiddushin. So the Torah writes about this Yesh Omrim V'lo Nihira. He says it does not seem that that is correct at all. It would seem much more that we paskin like the Shita Sarambam, that his Kiddushin does count, and that's why if you have someone who is a Mechal Shabbos Befarhesia, who's married, we have to make sure that he gives a get in order to prevent problems of Mamzerus, should the wife ever get remarried to somebody else, or should the wife ever have children with somebody else. However, there is a Chuvus Marash Dam in Ebenezer Simin Yud, where he says, how could it be that the Yesh Omrim of here argues on a Gemara Mufresh, says that kiddush of kiddushin, meaning there is an explicit gemara in Yevamos Mem Zayin and Becharos Daf Lamed that a ger that's chazar bo and does a kiddushin, that the kiddushin counts. So how is it possible that this yesh omen that's quoted by the Torah argues on a gemara mufarashes? So and our gemara that Aval Bishachata Yisraelu, we learn from the story of Achan that Aval Bishachata Yisraelu. So says the Marashdam, by Achan we don't find that he really did anything other than being Moel Becherim, meaning his Avera was taking from the spoils of Yericho. Everything else, he was kosher. So that's why you can't learn that a person who's Mechal Shabbos Farhesya and Ovid Avodah Zarah, that he's still the Yisrael Gamur from the story of Achan. Aye, what about the Gemara in Becharos and Yevamos, that a Ger Shechazarbo, nah, it doesn't mean that he's Chazarbo, that he goes back to living life like a guy. It means he violates Avera Achas, the way he used to violate when he was a guy. He has the Yetzer Hara for ham. So he eats ham like he did when he was a guy. But everything else he does like he is a Jew. That's where we say Kiddush of Kiddushin. But says Marashtam, someone who's a Mumar, someone who's completely rejects all of Torah and Mitzvos, that certainly is Kiddush of Kiddushin. So the other Achronim are not so pleased with that Marashtam. He says that he can't bring a riot from Arasugya, because you could say that the Ramosha writes in Ebenezer Chil Dalitzim Pei Gimel that from the fact that the Gemara says in Yevamos and Becharos that a Ger Shechazarbo and his Kiddush Bas Yisrael's Kiddush of Kiddushin, they learn it from Achan, but you have to say that the Gemara took it as a Dover Pashut, that a Mumar is a Kol Yisrael, is like a Jew, L'chol Dinav, because it's not Shaykh Metzius that Yisrael is going to turn back into a Goy. That's what the Gemara is saying, that it just doesn't happen. So the Gemara says, Alfi Shechad, so Ramosha, it's not taking issue with the Marashtam. Ramosha is saying he doesn't think either of these sugyas is relevant to the shaila, meaning the sugya about in Becharos about a guy who goes back to his old ways is just telling us that there's no such thing once you've converted to going back to being a guy. That doesn't happen. Once you've converted, you're a Jew for life. Our sugya about Acha and Afa Plisha Chata Yisrael, who is totally irrelevant in Halacha, it's not got it to Gemara, so it has nothing to do with Halacha. So that's what Moshe points out, that he thinks neither of these sugyas are even worth discussing in the context of the issue of with regard to what do we assume that a Jew has who sins has the status of a Jew, and with regard to what do we assume that he no longer has the status of a Jew. Vayit in the Gemara, fourth line, Amar Aviyava Henu Damri Inchi Asad Kai Beni Chilfi if you have a hadas that's amongst a number of other branches that are not as fragrant and as wonderful, it's still called an asa. So the guy goes back to wanting to live a life like a guy, but he's still a Jew. He's still called a Jew. What we see from here is that Achan violated Chamisha Chumshei Torah. How do we see that? Shenemar Chamisha Gam, because the word Gam appears five times. So you see that he violated all of Chamisha Chumshei Torah. So that also calls into question the Marashtam. Marashtam wanted to say that you can't prove from Achan that someone who's a complete Mumar violates everything is a Mechal Shabbos Bifar Hesya is still a Jew, because Achan only violated one thing. He took from the Cherem. From the Hemshech of the Gemara, it sounds like he violated everything. Taking from the Cherem was what he ultimately got punished for, but he violated everything. Achan Moshech, I wonder if Masparta is because the first drasha that he quotes is about the number of times it says the word Gam. Sometimes the names in Shas reflect the drushas that they make rather than their actual name. This next drasha has nothing to do with the number, but maybe that's what it relates to. I don't know. V'amar Rabbi Lam Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Masparta. Achan Moshech Bar Loso Haya. Achan was a Moshech Bar Arla. He undid his bris mila. Ksiv Hach V'gam Avros Brisi. Ksiv Hasam V'es Brisi Hefer. That you see that it's that Achan is accused of being Avru as Brisi. So it must be that he was Moshech Bar Loso. He violated as Brisi Hefer. The Gemara in Yevamos says that an Arel does not eat Truma. So the Gemara over there in Yevamos, I Zayin Beis says that Midar Raisa, someone who's Moshech Bar Lasso, does eat Truma. It's only a Din Midrabanan that a Moshech Bar Lasso doesn't eat Truma because he's near a Ka'arel. So Tosus over there asks from our Gemara. From our Gemara, it sounds like Midar Raisa, a Moshech Bar Lasso has a Din of an Arel, because the Gemara is saying, Esprisi Efer, that he is exactly someone who's been made for the bris. That we're saying that we're dashing from Psukim, that someone who's Moshech Bar Lasso is the same as an Arel. So how can we say that an Arel Midar Raisa is not allowed to eat Truma, but a Moshech Bar Lasso only Midrabanan is not allowed to eat Truma? The same thing. So Tosav there suggests that our Gemara's drasha is only an Asmachta. It's not a real drasha. Tosav also points out that there's a Gemara in Shavuos that someone who's Moshech Bar Lasso is Chayef Kares. So that really makes it sound like it's a Dindar Raisa. So how can you say that it's only a Dindarabanan? So that Tosos asks as a strong kasha. The Sefer Ben Yehuda, Tshuvas Ben Yehuda, suggests that there's a difference between what we call Mashuch Bar Lasso and Moshech Bar Lasso. He says Mashuch Bar Lasso is someone got a bris mila, Moel didn't do a great job, the skin grew back. That's a Mashuch Bar Lasso. Such a person is not Chayiv Kares. That happened on its own, and Min HaTorah, he's allowed to eat Truma. But the Chacham made a gzera that he shouldn't eat Truma either because he looks like an Arel. But a Moshech Bar Lasso, who actively goes and is Moshech Bar Lasso and is made for Bris, such a person is Chayiv Kares. He's not allowed to eat Truma even on a Do Raisa level. And that would answer both of Tosfos' kashas about Moshech Bar Lasso. In the Sefer Shirei Karban on the Yerushalmi, points out Moshech Bar Lasso, as the Yerushalmi says, it has no chelek leol maba, but he points out that's difficult if you assume that Moshech Bar Lasso is only in a Sidrabanan. So if you assume that no, Moshech Bar Lasso is only Drabanan, Moshech Bar Lasso is Daraisa, then it's no problem. You understand why you're in the chelek leol maba. Alternatively, you could say no, the specific aveira of being Moshech Bar Lasso may only be Drabanan, but the bizoy that one is showing to the bris, for that one is Chayev Kares, meaning the act of Kares means to be cut off from Klal Yisrael. By being Moshech Bar Lasso, now that specifically this Maisa may not be a Maisa that's an Aveira Midar Raisa, but the intent to remove himself from Knesset Yisrael, that certainly is something that's deserving of Kares. Says the Gemara, Pshita, obviously he was Moshech Bar Lasso. We just said that he was over on all of Chamisha Chum Shei Torah. So Bris is part of Chamisha Chum Shei Torah. Of course he was. So Ma'ad Teva Mitzvah Gufei Lo Pakar. Kamash Malan. I might have thought that maybe that far to physically change his body in order to violate the Torah, maybe that far he didn't go. Kamash Malan, that yes he did. V'chi Asa Nevala B'Yisrael, Pasuk goes on that he did a Nevala B'Yisrael. He slept with an Aram Rasa. How do we know that? By the parsha Aram Rasa, it calls it by the same title of Asa Nevala B'Yisrael. So Pshita, obviously he was violating Aram Rasa. He violated everything. Now I might have thought that that far he didn't go to violate Aram Rasa. Why that far? So says Rashi, to be mevayish a mishpacha in Klal Yisrael to asa her al baila. It's going to be mevayish the whole mishpacha. So I might have thought that to have such a lack of decency that far, he's not going to go. Ben Yoyada raises the question: why dafkan Aram Rasa? If the whole chiddush is about being mevayish a mishpacha, so just say something the Neshes Ish. And apparently, that the Gemara assumes he did. The Gemara assumes that he didn't violate Naram. We might have thought he didn't violate Naram Rasa. We never had a havamina that he didn't sleep with the Neshes Ish. He violated chamisha chamshei Torah. So that we never had a havamina that he would have refrained from. Isn't that also mevayish the family? So that's what the Ben Yoyada says. It's probably not mevayish the family as much, because the Gemara darshins about an Eishes Ish Shezinsa, Kein Derech Isha Mena Efes, Achlo Machsapia Vamer Lo Paalti Oven, that a woman who violates, who's an Eishes Ish, who sleeps with somebody else, will clean herself off and deny ever having done it. So the Mishpacha is not going to be as embarrassed, because they'll just stick with her side of the story that she never did anything, wrong. But by Inara Murasa, there's no such claim, because she's physically different. She lost her basulim. So there's no option other than the terrible embarrassment that it's going to cause the family. That's why there's a hava amina that Achan did not violate Nara Murasa. Says Gemara further, Ravina Amar Dine Kinara Murasa de Biskila, that Achan's punishment was like a Nara Murasa in that he gets skila. Amalirish Kusul Ravuna Ksiv, Eikach Yoshua's Achan. Ben Zarach Vesa Kesa Vesa Deres Vesa Shona Zav Vesa Bana Vesa Minosa Vesa Shora Vesa Chamaro Vesa Tzono Vesa Hala Vesa Kala Shalo. It just tells us that Yehoshua took everything that belonged to Achan. Imhu Chata Bana Minosa Machatu. He did an Avera. What sin did his sons and daughters do? So the truth is, the simple answer was the very top line of the page over here, which we read at the end of yesterday's shir, which is that we wanted to know why were the people punished for Achan? After all, it was a private sin. If you assume that Arvus doesn't apply to sins that are done in private. So the Gemara said, Mishum Dev Yadibe Ishto Ubanav. His children knew about it. But the Gemara says different. Amar Leilu Temeich Imhu Chata Kol Yisrael Machatu. What, you're asking what did his children do? I could ask you, what did the Jewish people do? Dechsiva Kol Yisrael Imo. That all of the Jewish people were meant to witness what was going to happen to Achan. El Radosan Hachanami Kedel Radosan. No, it was just to get them to learn a lesson that this is what happens to a person who doesn't listen to the rules. So that's why the children were there, and that's why Kol Yisrael was there as well. And what did they do with everything that they took from Achan? That they burnt and stoned. Bitarti, both? You do Srefa and Skila? So Amar Ravina, Haray L'Srefa L'Srefa, Haray L'Skila L'Skila. Those things that are living things and therefore can get Skila, got Skila. And those items that Skila won't do anything to, his furniture or whatever, so that they burnt. Ve'eru B'Shala Dereshinar Achas Tov Masayim Shkalim Kesef. Rav Amar, it's still a demilsa. They found all of the money hidden under a certain type of cloth. What type of cloth was it? So Rav says it was an itstila demilsa, which is a fine white wool. Ushmol Amar Sarvila Ditsarifa. It was a colorful garment. That's where they found everything hidden. It was some sort of very expensive clothing. Says the Ein Eliyahu, this is a machlokes lahalacha. What? Machlokes lahalacha? Doesn't sound at all lahalacha. They're arguing about what kind of garment it is. He says, there is a machlokes tanayim in Meseches Moed Katan Daf Chav Gimel. There's an isser for an avel to do gihutz begadim. So Rebbe holds, that's only begadim chadashim bilvad, only new begadim. Rebbe Shimon holds that it's only begadim chadashim levanim bilvad, only white clothing. So apparently the machlokes is whether a beged savua is considered chashuv enough that the isser of giyutz for an avel is going to apply on a beged savua. So says the Ein Eliyahu, that is exactly this machlokes over here. The pasuk is clearly trying to tell us that he had some sort of very chashuv beged, and we have a machlokes. What kind of machlokes? What beged was it? Who cares what beged it was? No, we're having machlokes. What is called a chashuv beged? Can a beged savua be called a chashuv beged or only a beged law? So what did they do with this beggar? Ve'atzikum b'fnei Hashem. So Yeshua sort of presents it in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar of Nachum, Bavu chaftam b'fnei HaMakom. Amar lefanav, Ribono shel Olam, Al elu te'ar gruba shel Sanhedrin, Dechsiv, Ve'yakom ha'am anshei ay, Kishloshim v'shisha ish. What, this is over this piece of cloth, over a shmata, you're going to kill the majority of the Sanhedrin? Because the Pasuk says 36 people were killed, V'tanya shloshim v'shisha mamish, Div Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Yudah holds literally 36 people, the majority of the Sanhedrin. No, it's not a reference to actually the majority of the Sanhedrin, but Yair ben Menashe was the equivalent of the rov of the Sanhedrin. Klei Yaakov points out that there are two diyukim. First of all, it doesn't say Shloshim Vashisha, it says Ki Shloshim Vashisha. Second of all, it doesn't say Anashim, it says Ish. So both of those are indications that it wasn't in fact 36 people, instead it was Yair ben Menashe, who is the equivalent of Shloshim Shisha Ish. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav, Maidich Siv Tachnunim Yidaber Rosh V'Ashir Yana Azus, that a poor person speaks in Tachnunim, but a rich person speaks with a sense of Azus. Tachnunim Yidaber Rosh Zem Moshe. Moshe spoke more pleasantly. He's the what the Pasuk is referring to by the poor person. V'Ashir Yana Azus Zem Yoshua. And the wealthy person speaks with Chutzpah, that's a reference to Yoshua. The Yad Ramah points out, Moshe is called the Rash because many Nisim and Aflos happened through him for the Jewish people, and therefore he used up many of his Zuchiyah. So he considered himself like a Rash, not that he actually actually was poor in Zechuyos, but he spoke like a poor person, meaning a poor person doesn't feel any sense of entitlement. He speaks very meekly. He doesn't, he doesn't expect anyone to listen to him. A rich person, all of a sudden, things are going well for him. Everyone's interested in what he has to say. People value his opinion. He speaks with more assertiveness. So that's Yoshua felt that he had all of his Zechuyos intact. Moshe, and therefore he spoke with Azus. Moshe spoke like a Rash because he thought that all of his Zechuyos were already dried up. My time, so what exactly did Yoshua say that sounded like Azus, that spoke with Chutzpah? Ile, we have three possibilities. Number one, Mishum Duksive Yatzikim Lefnei Hashem, Va'am Rav Nachum Bava Chavtum Lefnei HaMakom, that he went and he threw down the clothing that he got from Achan's tent in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, because of this, you're going to kill the Reuben Shel Sanhedrin. So that was the Chutzpah. Well, Atu Pinchas Lavarach, didn't Pinchas do exactly the same thing? Va'aksiv, Va'yamud Pinchas Va'yipalel, Va'atayatzer HaMagefa, Va'am Rav Lazar, Vayispalel lo nemar. It doesn't say Vayispalel, which would express a lashon of a nivus that he's going through his own life change. Ela Vayipalel, accusing Melami Chasa Plilus Imkono. He came on the attack against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Baba Chaptol v'Neimakom Amar Lefanu Ribono Shalolam Aleilu Yipalu Esrim Arba Elav Miyisrael. For these low lives that I had to kill, you're gonna wipe out 24,000 Jews. Dichsev Vayu Amesim Magev Arba of Yisrim Elav. So Pinchas did the same thing. And how could, why is it therefore a remarkable azus on Yoshua's part if he's doing exactly what Pinchas did? So he's saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam, why did you have to bring us over the Yarden? That's why if we're not able to withstand the nisyonos that awaited us on the other side of the Yarden. So Moshe Nami Meimer Amar, but that's not a great chutzpah that's unique to Yoshua. Moshe said something very similar. Moshe said also questioned the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Marsha points out that not that Moshe did right by saying Lamer Yosalem Azeh. We're going to have a Gemara later on in Kufir Aleph that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished for that. But we're just saying it doesn't show a remarkable azus on Yeshua's part that's unprecedented. We see that his own Rebbe did it, that Moshe Rabbeinu did it. Ela Mehacha, V'luhu Alnu V'nesha Ve'ver Yarden. It's not saying why did you do this, but it's saying we would have been better off not listening to Hashem and staying on the other side of the Yarden, meaning even after Hashem told us to pass over the Yarden, we would have been better off not listening and staying on the other side of the Yarden. So that's the chutzpah. Ve'yomer Hashem l'Yeshua, kum lech. Darash Rabbi Shila, amr l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, shelcha kashim yishalehem. Your punishment is worse than them. Meaning, Yeshua, it's your fault that these averus were done. Because ani amarti vayibav rechem esyadim tekimu, v'atem richaktem shishim mil. So I told you that as soon as you cross over the Yarden, set up on Har Grizim and Har Eval, and do the whole brachos and klolos. And you waited till you got 60 mil away before you set up an Har Grizim and Har Eval, so you delayed too much. So after he left, Rav, after Rav Shila left, Rav said a different interpretation. That Yoshua did everything exactly to the T, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe it's supposed to be done. So there's no way that the Ribbono Shel Olam said you should do this as soon as you get to the other side of the Yarden, and Yoshua delayed 60 mil. No way. Imkein matam alom rekum lech. So then what do we darshan from Kum Lech that get up and go? He's saying, you're the one that caused it. Meaning, you're the one that came up with this idea of having an Isser on taking the spoils of Yericho. So Yeshua, that was your bright idea. So because you made a gzeira that the Tzibur was not Yecholon Lamubo, or at least one member of the Tzibur was not Yecholon Lamubo, that's how careful Rabbanan have to be before they impose a new Chumrah, before they impose a new Din. They have to make sure that the people are able to withstand it, and if not, they should really question what they're doing. And that's why in the second battle of Ai, now you should do like you did with Yericho. So that was the Musar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving to Yoshua. Now, so the first drasha that Rabbi Shila Darshan did was that he went 60 mil as opposed to setting up on Har Grizim and Har Eval right then and there. So Tosa says, wait a second, where was Har Grizim and Har Eval? Was it right there or was it 60 mil away? Meaning it's not his fault if he went 60 mil to find Har Grizim and Har Eval. because Har Grizim and Har Eval happened to have been 60 mil away. So Tosfos suggests that even though there's a machlokas between Reb Lazar and Reb Yehuda Maseches Sotah Daf Lamed Gimel, when it says V'nasatas Abrach Har Grizim V'saklal Har Eval Halohema Be'Ever Yarden, and Reb Yehuda says that they were mamish Me'Ever Yarden, they were far. Reb Yehuda says they were far away from the Yarden. Me'Ever Yarden means Berichuk Ben Yarden, whereas Reb Lazar says no, they were smuchim to the Yarden. So Tosfos says that Reb Lazar holds that Har Grizim and Har Eval, that there were two Har Grizims and Har Eval. There was ones that were smuchim to the Yarden and ones that were far away. And it was his choice to go to the ones that were far away. That's the criticism. The Chasam Sofer says differently. The Chasam Sofer says, no, they were far away. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, as soon as you get over the Yarden, set up an Har Grizim and Har Eval, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obviously trying to tell them you can have Kfitzas HaDerech. And if they didn't have Kfitzas HaDerech, he should have begun to question, why didn't we have Kfitzas HaDerech? And right there, he should have realized that some sort of tshuva was in order. That something should, so in that sense, he's blamed for not seeing the signs from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Klal Yisrael had some sort of moral failing that needed to be addressed. And he ignored it, and he just traveled the 60 mil to Har Grizim and Har Eval. That's how the Chasam Sofer suggests. Okay, Vayibos Yehoshua be Yericho, Vayisei Navayar. So Yehoshua was in Yericho, he's devastated over the loss of the Battle of Ai, and he sees a Malach. Vayomer Loki ani sar tzva Hashem atabasi. And the Malach introduces himself. Vayupol Yehoshua alpadavartzo v'yishtachu, and Yehoshua bows to him. Heich yavad hachi, how could he bow to this stranger? Vam Rabbi Yochanan asal adam shiten shalom l'chaver b'layla, chayshin and shem ashed hu. Don't we say that you're not allowed to give shalom to someone at night that you don't recognize because you have to be that maybe it's a shade? So how could Yehoshua bow to this person that he couldn't identify? Tulsa says, "Dafka b'sadus u'bahar makom shein b'nei adam mitzuyin the shchichi sham shedim afil b'yom." It has to be a place that's like an abandoned location. That's where we're choshesh that it's a shade. He says, "Di'lav ha'achi heich adam nosin shalom l'chaver b'layla." How could anyone ever greet anybody at night if it's in all circumstances that you always have to be choshesh that it's a shade? And then Tulsa says, and I'll tell you even further, "V'heich isha miskaresh." How could a woman ever get divorced at night if you're worried that any guy that you see might be a shade? So it must be that it's not that any guy that you see might be a shade. It's that if you're in an abandoned location, you're in a place where shadim typically hang out, that's where you have to be choshesh that it's a shade. That's how Tosfos deals with it. That's why a woman is allowed to get divorced at night. The Maral says, no, nishas miskareshes b'layla, because there are three people involved in the get. There's the sofer, there's the shnei edim. So we assume that amongst those three people, one of them must recognize that this person's not a shade. Or also, he says, you know, we're only choshesh that it's a shade if you don't know who the person is. But if you see the person's face and you recognize the person, you don't have to be choshesh that it's a shade in disguise as this person. That's the chashash, that it's a shade. So for those reasons, the Maral writes, a woman is allowed to get divorced at night. So anyway, so how could Yehoshua do this? How could he greet him and bow to him? Shouldn't he have been concerned that it's a shade? No, shayni asim dekamalei anish sar tzva Hashem atabasi. So says it because he introduced himself as a sar tzva Hashem. But v'dilma mishakri, are shadim above lying? Gemiri dilamafki shem shemayim levatala. They might lie, but they would never be motzi shem shemayim levatala. That far a shade won't go. Armalei emesh bitaltim talmud shel ben arbayim va'achshav bitaltim talmud Torah. So the shade starts giving him musri. He says, yes, sir, you're mevatel talmud shel ben arbayim, and today you're being mevatel talmud Torah. So aleiz a man basa. So he says, okay, which one is worse? What are you here for? What are you here to reprimand me about? The bittel Torah or the bittel of the talmud shel ben arbayim? So he says, Amalei atabasi. It's for what you did right now. It's for the bittel of the Torah, not the bittel of the Talmud Shel Ben Arbayim. So miyad vayolin Yehoshua b'layla hu b'toche emek v'amar v'yochum lamid shalon ba'umka shel halacha. So right away he started being ma'ayin into halacha with great depth. He was lon ba'umka shel halacha. So Tosfos and Tosfos Rush raised the question, why were Klal Yisrael Taka Mevatel the Karban Tamid? Meaning that I understand Bittul Torah, they're busy with the war. Let the Kohanim bring the Karban Tamid. Why didn't they bring the Karban Tamid? So the Rashba and the Ritva say that they were not Mevatel the Karban Tamid. They just didn't bring it with a Maimed of Klal Yisrael. Normally the Karban Tamid is supposed to be brought the Maimed Klal Yisrael because it's a Karban that represents all of Klal Yisrael. But they thought, you know, it's not Ma'akiv the Karban anyway, and therefore they'll bring the carbon. But the problem with that is then we don't have a raya that for the next line of the Gemara. The Gemara tells us, Amar Shmuel Bar Unya Mishmed Rav Gadol Talmud Torah Yosem Akravas Tmidin Shnemar Atabasi. From the fact that he said, "I'm here for the Talmud, for the failing in Talmud Torah," we see Talmud Torah is greater than the carbon Talmud. But if that shita is correct, that they were not actually mevatel the carbon Talmud, all you could prove is that Talmud Torah is greater than having a maimed of Yisrael by the carbon Talmud, but it doesn't actually prove that it's greater than the entire carbon Talmud. So the pashtus is that they were actually mevatel the carbon Talmud. The Achronim also point out over here that when we say that he was lan ba'omka shel halacha, that you see from here not just that he learned. There's no way that Yeshua Talmud Chacham doesn't even go dalet amos without Torah. So there's no way Yeshua was not learning Torah at all. No, what it means is he was a bittul Torah, what they call bittul Torah be'echus. He was learning, by rote. He was learning something easy, but there's bittul Torah even in the quality of Talmud Torah, and his quality of Talmud Torah was not what it should have been. In the Tshuvas Beis Ephraim explains the Gemara Megillah, where mevatel Talmud Torah letzorech mikra Megillah, the Gemara says, in order to go read the Megillah, mevatel Talmud Torah. What do you mean mevatel Talmud Torah? All the Achronim ask. The mikra Megillah itself is part of Torah. The Pesukim themselves are Tanakh. So how is that called Bittul Torah? No, because sometimes the person can be engaged, his mind is ready for more challenging learning, and if he decides to take the easy way out and take a softer type of limud, when he's able to handle more, so that too is Bittul Torah. Rav Sturmbach in Ma'adim Uzmanim expands on that. He says, there is also a requirement that Divrei Torah Mechudadim Beficha. So not every time that you say that a person is able to go into depth, is he necessarily supposed to go into depth. He also has to do a lot of chazara to make sure that he remembers his learning. But it means that any time a person doesn't maximize his potential in Talmud Torah, in a sense, that's bittul Torah. By not trying to maximize potential in Torah. Sometimes it's by lack of depth, sometimes it's by lack of breadth. But all of that would be considered on some level bittul Torah. Amle Abay L'Rav Dimi, Haikra B'Marav M'may Mukmitalei. What do they do with the following pasuk in Eretz Yisrael? Al teitz to the Riv Meher pen matasa ba'achrisa ba'achlumos achreacha rivcha rivas reacha v'sodachar al togel. What do they do with that pasuk in Eretz Yisrael? So that's a strange question. Why is that pasuk more challenging in Eretz Yisrael than it is in Chutz La'aretz? So the Iyun Yaakov explains that the pasuk says al teitz to the Riv Meher. So it sounds like you're not supposed to rush to a fight, but take it slow and then fight. Meaning that there are times b'metinus you can fight. If you're going to do it with patience, then you can fight. So he says, but what about Gadol HaShalom? HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create a midah tova yoser min HaShalom, the Medrash tells us. So it must be talking about Divrei Torah. That in Divrei Torah, a riv is appropriate. That you're supposed to fight a melchamta shel Torah. So now we understand, says the Yun Yaakov, why we're saying, how did the B'nai Ma'arava handle this? In Bavel, the style of learning was that they were always fighting and learning. That Nasu Ka'ivim Zelazah, they were fighting with each other, a melchamta shel Torah. In Eretz Yisrael, the style of learning was more benachas. The style of learning was to be softer and be much more benachas with each other. So we're saying, in Eretz Yisrael, how do they understand this pasuk? I know I will understand it in Bavel, because we do it every single day in the Beis Medrash, that we go and we fight in learning. So he says, here's how they understand it in Eretz Yisrael. B'shar Shom Lekrosh Baruch that your father is an Amori, your mother is a Chitis. Amr Ruach Paskonis Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gavriel, the Malach Gavriel, Rashi identifies as Ruach Paskonis, came and said in front of the Ribbono Shalom, Ribbono Shalom, Im Yavo Avram V'Sar V'Yamdu Lefnecha Atomer Lehem U'Machl Masam. If Avram Avinu and Sarah Imenu were standing in front of you, would you refer to them as a Chiti and an Amori? Would you humiliate them like this? Rivcha Rives Reach V'Sodachar Al Togel. Meaning, you want to fight the fight with the children, with their children, because they've done averos. Good, fight the fight with them. But why do you have to go back and say not nice things about their holy forefathers? So says Umar, wow, that is quite a statement for a malach to make to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umi yisle reshu sukule hai. Gavriel gets to talk that way to Hashem. In, yes, he does. Dom Rav Yosef Rav Chinin Shalosh Shem Siyeshlo. He has three names: Piskon, Itmon, Sigron. What do those three names represent? Piskon Shaposik Tvarim Klapei Maila. Itmon Shotim of an Osem Shal Yisrael. Sigrom Kim Shisogar Shuvein Apuseach. So his names represent the fact that he's allowed to speak with assertiveness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that his job is to protect the Jewish people, and that once he finishes his arguments, no one else has anything to say. Hayarach Shuach Halo B'Tzar. Amar B'Lazal Olam Yaktam Adam Tfila L'Tzar. A person should always daven before a tzara hits. Shel Mali Hiktam Avram Tfila L'Tzar Bein Beis Al Bein Ha'ai Lo Nishtayim Rishri Yisrael Tzara Rupalit. That if not for the fact that Avram Avinu way back in his generation was already davening for what would happen to the Jewish people in Ai, then it would have been a much greater disaster. The tefillah has to come before the tzara to protect us from the tzara. You know, there's a machlokas Rambam Ramban whether tefillah. What about tefillah is da'oraisa? Whether tefillah is the Rambanel's tefillah is only da'oraisa be'es tzara, whereas the Rambam, the Sefer Mitzvah Hey holds that the chiyuv of tefillah b'chol yom is mida'oraisa, even not in an es tzara. So what's the svara? Why would it the Ramban has all these rayas that it relates to an es tzara? So perhaps the Rambam holds that it's always about an es tzara because the chiyuv of tefillah be'es tzara, based on this Gemara, the chiyuv of Tfilah Be'es Tzara is not only after the Es Tzara happens, it's to make sure to avoid the Es Tzara, to already dull the effect of the Es Tzara in advance. The Ramban, for his part, would say it doesn't tell us chayiv. It says, you know, this is what a person should do. To be the La'olam Yaktim Adam Tfilah L'Tzara. Sounds like it's only a Din Midrabanan, not a Din Midaraisa. But the Rambam may hold, in principle, like the Ramban, that the Din of Tfilah is Be'es Tzara, but he holds that it's always an Es Tzara, meaning every tefillah you offer relates to an Es Tzara. Rav Salvech said it a little differently. Rav Salvech said it's always an Es Tzara because you always need another breath of oxygen in the next moment. Every HaKadosh Baruch is always doing miracles to keep us alive. It's just that they're Nes Nisters, they're not Nes Niglas. So it's always an Es Tzara. There's always a hidden Tzara. Maybe you don't even have to say that. No, it's about what we would call a Tzara. But it's just that you have to say the tefillah beforehand. Reish Lakish Amar Kolam Amit Atzma Tefillah Milamata Ein Lo Tzara Milamala. Person strengthens himself in tefillah milamata, so he's not going to have accusers milamala. Rabbi Yochanan Malol Mivakish Adam Rachim Mishiyah Kol Ma'amtzin Eskocho Value Tzar milamala. A person should daven that the malachim should not hold back his tefillah, and that he should be able, his tefillah should be listened to. So Rashi writes he should be Mivakish Rachimim Mimalachay Asharis Sheyisayehu Levakish Rachimim, from Malachay Asharis, that they should help him in his tefillos, and that they shouldn't be mekatreg against his tefillos. So says the Rashash. Ooh, from here you see that the tefillah of Machnisei Rachamim is perfectly kosher. You're allowed to daven to Malachim that they should help your tefillah. That ask the Malachim for help in your tefillah being brought to the Ribbono Shel. However, a number of other Achronim suggest that that is not true. That's not what the Gemara is saying over here. What the Gemara is saying is you daven to Hashem that He shouldn't allow the Malachim to get in your way, and that He should allow the Malachim to help you out. But all tefillos need to be addressed directly to the Ribbono Shel. That's why some have the minhag to say Machnisei Rachamim in Slichos. Some have the minhag not to say Machnis Rachamim and Slichos. Some have the minhag to in Shalom Aleichem to say Baruchuni L'Shalom. Some don't say Baruchuni. It's all about whether you're allowed to directly address a malach in a tefillah. Minayin shekiper lo viduyo. How do we know that a person's vidui works for a kapara? Worked for achan. Tan rabbanu minayin shekiper lo viduyo. Shnemar v'yom lo Yeshua ma'achar tan yachrucha Hashem hayom hazeh hayom hazeh ata achur. So we dash from there that yes, today you are achur, but via ata achur le olam haba. But your sin is not going to stain you in Olam Haba. Uksivu b'nei Zerach Zimri ve'esan ve'heman v'chilkal v'dirda. So kulam chamisha, that there were five sons, that Achan had five sons. My kulam chamisha, what does it mean? What is the extra phrase kulam chamisha? We know how to count. No, what it means is kulam chamisha in Olam Haba. All five are destined for Olam Haba. Uksiv Zimri, uksiv Achan. Now it calls Achan both Zimri and it calls him Achan. What was his real name? Rav Shmuel Chadam or Achan Shmo v'lominik Shmo Zimri, Shasa Maisa Zimri. His name was Achan, and he's called Zimri because he acted like Zimri. That he's called Achan, his real name was Zimri, he's called Achan because he was Ichen. Rashi says, Gilgil Aleim Pekudos Avanoseim Kach Mezusha Meskal Gelgos Behekvagul. That he caused to bring about the punishment for the sins of the Jewish people by doing something so overtly wrong. Imeni Odeh Lisvados, Rabbi Domer Lenakos Atzman, we had the whole discussion in the Mishnah. What if a guy wants to say, I'm innocent, so he doesn't want to say a vidui? Do we allow him to say, I'll say a vidui for everything else except for this crime, because I didn't do this crime? So if you're not quite, so we said, no, you can't do that, because then everyone, the Chum said, you can't do that, because then everyone's going to say that I'm innocent. So says, well, good, so if you're not quite, so let them claim that they're innocent. Well, what's the problem? No, we don't want them to be moti laz on the bezin and the edim, because if people believe them, then it's going to be a laz on the bezin and the edim. A person was once being brought out to get killed. If I actually did this sin, then I don't want my misa to be a kapara for anything I've done, meaning I'm so insistent I didn't do this avera. But if I'm innocent, let my misa be a kapara for all my other averos. And I forgive the Beis Din and all the rest of the Jewish people, they're free of any blame. But va'edim lo tehei lahem mechila liolam. The Edim should pay for this crime of getting me killed. When the Chum heard such a statement, they were very shaken up. So, well, we can't take him back and not kill him, because the gzera was already made. We're going to have to kill him, and if the Edim killed an innocent man, that's on their heads. It's not our problem. Of course you have to kill him. You know, because a guy says, I'm innocent, you're not going to kill him? Of course, everyone says they're innocent. No, the Edim changed their minds and they said, no, we changed our minds, he's not really guilty. Even then you still kill the guy. Of course you still kill the guy. We have a rule, that once a person says testimony, of course you kill him. Even if they have some sort of a master, they have some sort of explanation as to why they lied, and we really think that they did lie, we still kill the guy. And the parentheses is a remarkable story that Rashi says in the entire left-hand side of the page over here, where such a similar thing happened, where they killed someone who was in all likelihood innocent because Edim made up a story and lied about them, and the Edim wanted to retract their testimony at the end, but we killed the person anyway, and we said it's the Edim's problem. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow at the Mishnah.